This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
صاحب السلام سليم الكثير أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده رسوله صلاة ربي وسلامه عليه. So tonight's topic, inshallah, is called Navigating the Storm, knowing Allah Azza wa Jal during the good times, so that He knows you during the difficult ones. And that's kind of that second part, which is what the topic is about, is verbatim from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of the variations of the famous hadith of Ibn Abbas, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Ibn Abbas, احفظ الله يحفظك, preserve the commands of Allah and Allah will preserve you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Thank you very much. جزاك الله خيرا. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Preserve the commands of Allah, you will find Allah Azza wa Jal with you. إِذَا سَأَلْتْ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, then ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتْ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek the help of anyone, seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعَلَمَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوْ اجْتَمُعُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبْهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. And know that if an entire nation were to gather to harm you, they wouldn't be able to harm you except with what Allah Azza wa Jal has already written for you. And the hadith goes on. But in a variation of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah Azza wa Jal during the good times, the easy times, and Allah Azza wa Jal will know you during the difficult times. Allah Azza wa Jal will know you during the difficult times. And so, when you reflect on your state of blessing right now, when you reflect on your health, your security, when you reflect on how things are going smooth, you may be employed, you may be in school, you've got, alhamdulillah, a very sheltered life, and that is a great blessing, then that is the time to worship Allah. That is the time to make a lot of dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the time to repent to Allah. That is the time to invest in having a relationship with Allah. Because Allah Azza wa Jal criticizes those people who only raise their hands in dua when everything is going wrong. Those people who, when they are now in fear of their lives, when they are afraid, when they are afflicted by dharra, that is when they raise their hands and supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the person who remembers Allah Azza wa Jal, even in the good times, now that is someone who is special. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that is the one whom Allah Azza wa Jal will know during the times of difficulty. And so we begin by the beginning of the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, احفظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظَكَ. He says, preserve Allah, Allah will preserve you. Well, what does it mean to preserve Allah? So the first part, preserving Allah, is to preserve the commandments of Allah. Meaning that a person preserves the commandments of Allah and Allah Azza wa Jal will preserve them. Preserve the commandments of Allah, meaning that the person does what Allah obligates them to do, the obligatory actions. They pray their five, they fast their Ramadan, they do that which is obligatory, and they stay away from that which is prohibited. If something is prohibited, they stay away from it, they avoid it, they shun it. And in doing so, in just focusing on these, if a person were to just make this their focus for the year 2007, they would be... What did I say? 2007? Okay, good. Good catch. I'm just checking to see if you guys are awake. 2017, then that would be an incredible amount of injaz, or that would be a great step for a person to take. Because, you know, if a person avoids the maharim of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will be atqan nas. And they would be a'bad al-nas. They would be the best worshipper, the person who avoids haram. You know, one of the scholars he mentioned, he says, أَعْمَالُ الْبِرْ. He said, good deeds are done by the righteous and the wicked. Good deeds are done by the righteous and the wicked. But nobody avoids haram illa صَدِّيقًا, except for a truthful person. This is a very powerful statement that he makes. You know what? You may give in charity, but the most evil person on earth will probably have some charitable organizations that they donate to, or charities that they have, right? They give in charity too. You may feed the poor, people who aren't righteous may feed the poor. Lots of people do good deeds. You may pray, other people pray. But what really defines a person? You know, because when you do goodness, you sometimes are doing it, and everybody who does goodness, they get a benefit from doing goodness. There's a benefit that's, you know, they might feel good. They might feel like they helped somebody. There's some sort of feel-good reaction that comes to them from that. However, he says, the only person who will refrain from haram, even though their desire calls them to do this, even though they would really enjoy to do that, but they still refrain themselves from that because it is haram, so they are not submitting to anyone except for Allah Azza wa Jalla, and in fact, they are subduing what they would desire because Allah Azza wa Jalla wills otherwise and has legislated otherwise. He says the only person who's willing to do that is a siddiq, is someone who is absolutely truthful, someone who is sincere. And so gauging yourself, not just from the status of, did I pray Isha tonight? Did I pray Isha and then after Isha I went and I did some crazy stuff and then I'll be back for Fajr? No, that I gauge myself in the avoidance of sins. I gauge myself in the avoidance of sins. I worship Allah Azza wa Jalla by performing that which is obligatory and I avoid that which is muharram. That is the first step of ihfadillah. Preserve the commandments of Allah. Because the commandments of Allah are commandments and prohibitions. And hence, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, when you hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, then give it your ear. Because it is either a commandment that's about to come. Once you hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, it's either a commandment that's going to come, or it is a prohibition. Or it is a prohibition. Okay. Ihfadillah yahfadak. Allah Azza wa Jal will preserve you. Well, how will Allah Azza wa Jal preserve you? The scholars, they said, Allah Azza wa Jalla will preserve you in two ways. The first is He will preserve you physically. He will preserve you in your dunya. Allah Azza wa Jalla will provide for you masalih of the dunya. Allah Azza wa Jalla, and hence the verse where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says there are angels from in front of them and from behind them, protecting them by the command of Allah. These angels. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said that every human being has angels in front of them and behind them, protecting them. And so for those who think that, well, we don't have this concept of guardian angels in Islam, all you need to do is watch a YouTube video and you'll see people who, you know, there are a million of them. You, a guy who's about to step out of his car and he opens the door and then he decides to just look back in and all of a sudden another car comes and slams, breaks that door off the car. Well, what caused that man that last second hesitation? These angels that cast thoughts into a person's mind. And he says to him, he says, Inna ma'a kulli rajul. He says, for every person has malakain, yahfidhanihi mimma lam yuqaddar, fa idha ja'a al-qadr, khalliya baynahu wa baynah. So he says that every person has two angels that protect them from qadr, or protect them, that become a barrier between them and Qadr. And then, they come between them until Qadr comes. And then when Qadr comes, they move out of the way and the Qadr hits. And so that person who ends up getting hit by a car, that is because their angels that were protecting them and protecting them and protecting them from everything else, when that divine decree came, they moved out of the way and they let that divine decree touch that person. And so he says, Mujahid himself said, Surah Ibn Abbas, he says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ مَلَكٌ يَحْفَظُهُ فِي نَوْمِهِ وَيَقْذِهِ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالْهَوَامِ فَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يَأْتِيهِ إِلَّا قَالَ لَهُ وَرَاءَكَ إِلَّا شَيْءًا أَذَنَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ فَيُصِيبُهُ. He says, there is not a single person except that they have angels around them and they are protecting them in their sleep and in their wakefulness. And there is nothing that approaches them except that they say, go back, until something comes that Allah Azza wa Jal has willed, and so it actually touches this person. Nonetheless, the first level here is that a person is protected and preserved by their obedience to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they're not just preserved in their physical from accidents and things like that, but they're preserved in their faculties. And so it has been said anecdotally, for example, by our teachers that they have not met a person who has memorized the Qur'an and has lost their memory in their old age. Because they preserved their mental faculty with their memorizing of Allah Azza wa Jalla's book, and so Allah Azza wa Jalla preserved their abilities and their intellectual abilities later on in life. And there are many others who they preserved their bodies from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla when they were young, and so Allah Azza wa Jalla preserved their strength, and He preserved their abilities, and He preserved their faculties after they became older. So احفظ الله يحفظك, preserve the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah will preserve you. And hence you'll hear the dua in which it is said, وَمَتِّعْنَا بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّاتِنَا أَبَدًا مَا أَبْقَيْتَنَا وَاجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. O Allah, preserve our sight and our hearing and our abilities as long as we are alive. And so one of the ways for the person who's concerned about their abilities, and they want to have them and they want them to be preserved, is to make sure that they preserve them by preserving the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal now. So that is the second. As for the third, Allah Azza wa Jal preserves that person by preserving their religion. And that is the greatest. Allah Azza wa Jal preserves this person's religion. And so when this person has a cause of conflict, or this person has a waswas, or this person has a difficulty, or this person has a sin that is presented to them that might destroy them or destroy their religion or destroy their akhirah, Allah Azza wa Jal protects this person. And an example of that, one of the greatest examples of that, is Yusuf alayhi salam, who in the, when he was in the house of the wife of, he was in the house of Al-Aziz, and the wife of Al-Aziz was tempting him, and Yusuf alayhi salam in that state had every reason for him to fall into sin. He had every reason to fall into sin, and he actually had no reason, and he had no way for him to not fall into sin. He was a foreigner. He wasn't even in his own land. So meaning, he has no support. He has no family that he can go to. He has no backup. That is number one. Number two, he's not even a free person. He is not even free. He does not even have a choice. Not only that, but he's living in the house that is a prison for him, the house of Al-Aziz. Not only that, but the wife of Al-Aziz, his very mistress, is the one who's calling him to this. Not only that, but that whole aristocratic class of women have all now agreed, and they're all plotting against him. And so Yusuf alayhi salam has every access to commit al-fahisha, and he has no way out, and yet Allah Azza wa Jal provides for him a way out. When Yusuf alayhi salam says, رَبِّ السِّجْنُ وَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهُ وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. He says, oh my Lord, prison is more beloved to me than what they are calling me to, and if you do not divert me away from them, I'll be inclined to them and I will be of the ignorant. And so Allah Azza wa Jal provides for Yusuf a way out from that prison. So there are some people who, even in the most dire circumstances, because Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah says, whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will provide for them a way out. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah Azza wa Jal will provide from them for where they did not expect. And then you have people who are the opposite. They didn't preserve the commandments of Allah. They weren't sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so in their moment of conflict, Allah Azza wa Jal exposed them. And that is one of the meanings of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمِلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٍ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمِلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. He said that a man will continue to do the actions of the people of paradise until there is nothing between them and paradise except for a handspan. And then they will do the actions of the people of the hellfire and they will enter into it. And so this phrase caused a lot of people pause. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that a person may do the actions of the people of paradise their entire life, and then near the end of their life, the writing will overtake them, destiny will overtake them, qadr will overpower them, and they will do the actions of the people of the hellfire and they will enter into it? That's kind of a hard pill to swallow. You say to yourself that you're going to spend your entire life, any one of us, worshipping Allah, praying, developing a relationship, avoiding haram, our entire lives, and then when we're so close to paradise, some written pages will overtake us, some qadr will overtake us, and we'll be of the people of hellfire? The scholar said, no, that's not the correct understanding. Because Allah Azza wa Jal does not oppress anyone. And it is impossible that a person spend their entire life journeying to Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely, truthfully, And then at the end, Allah Azza wa Jalla let them down. It's not going to happen. Allah is not going to forsake a single soul that is sincere to Him. So what then is the reconciliation of this hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another variation, he says, وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لِيَعْمَلُ بِأَعْمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. In what appears to the people. This person was not sincere. This person is a person who it seemed like to the people was doing the actions of the people of paradise, but they weren't doing the actions of the people of paradise. They weren't sincere. And so, near the end of their life, Allah Azza wa Jal exposes them. And so this big person or this great person or whoever the people thought, you find that near the end of their life they take positions or they do that which causes people to feel or is just something that is completely wrong. And an action of the people of the hellfire. And so a person who is sincere, Allah Azza wa Jal will not expose that person and Allah Azza wa Jal will protect them. And that is the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. And that is the example of many of the righteous before us. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was a sincere companion. And he participated in every campaign with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the campaign of Badr. That's the only one that he missed. And he missed the campaign of Tabuk because of basic human procrastination. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning back from the campaign, and Ka'b ibn Malik was worried because he didn't know what he was going to say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, to that extent, I asked the opinion of every member of my family, and they, or every prudent member of my family, and they encouraged him to make up some information. You know, just tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make an excuse, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will accept it. And Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, in the hadith, he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina, all of those ideas vanished from my mind. Everything vanished from my mind. Well, who made those ideas vanish? It was Rasulullah, it was Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Ka'b radiallahu anhu was sincere from before, so Allah Azza wa Jal gave him thabat in his moment of doubt. However, there were some 80 some odd munafiqeen who did not have that doubt in their mind vanish. They did not have that confusion or that evil plan in their mind vanish. Rather, they continued, and Allah Azza wa Jal had them exposed later on. So the point here being is, if a person preserves the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will preserve them in their time of difficulty. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Preserve the commandments of Allah, and you will find Allah Azza wa Jal in front of you. You will find Allah Azza wa Jal in front of you. And the presence of Allah is also two types. The presence of Allah. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. You'll find Allah in front of you. There's two types of ma'iyya. It's called ma'iyya of Allah. And ma'iyya means, it comes from the word ma'a. Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair. Can you grab that? The ma'iyya of Allah is two types. Jazakallah khair. Keep coming. Thank you. I got it. The ma'iyya of Allah is two types. It comes from the word ma'a, which means with. The first type is the general ma'iyya, that Allah Azza wa Jal is with everybody, with His knowledge, with His encompassing of their actions. And the second type is Allah Azza wa Jal is with the believers. Allah is with them, watching over them, taking care of them, providing for them. And so you have these two concepts. People, they're not conflicting. And even in English you say, someone is watching you, right? Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you. And that's one level, that's one type of ma'iyya. And it's right, Allah is watching you. That's the first level. Allah is encompassing your actions. Allah Azza wa Jal says, ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا. Allah says there's no private gathering of three people except Allah is their fourth. There's no gathering of five except that Allah is their sixth. And there's no more than that nor less than that except that Allah is with them wherever they are. Surah Al-Mujadila. And so here you get this sense of Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you. Allah is watching you. Allah is aware of everything that you say. Allah Azza wa Jal hears everything that you say and sees everything that you do. And that is supposed to invoke cautiousness, fear, awe. Allah is watching you. But then there's the second level of ma'iyya, which is Allah is watching, not just watching you, but watching over you. Allah is watching over you. And so when Musa alayhi salam comes to the bank and he sees water in front of him and he looks behind and he's with Bani Israel and he sees Fir'aun and the army and their eyes lock. That's how close they have got. They got to each other. And Bani Israel says, "Inna lamudrakun." That's it. They're going to catch up to us. And Musa alayhi salam says, "Kalla. Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen." And that's an incredibly powerful statement. It's a very profound statement because Musa alayhi salam is looking in every direction and all he sees is death. All he sees is death. There's water in front of you, you're going to drown. There's an army behind you, you're going to get slaughtered. Where else is he supposed to look? And yet Musa alayhi salam is saying, "Kalla, no, we're not going to die. We're not going to be overtaken. We're not going to be caught up to. Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen. I have my Lord with me. He's going to guide me. My Lord is with me." And so this is that personal ma'iyya of feeling that Allah Azza wa Jal is not just watching me, but Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over me. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he is in Al-Ghar, he's in the cave, and Quraysh has put a bounty on his head and Abu Bakr, and they have no power and they have no one who can protect them other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And Abu Bakr is worried because if they simply look in their direction, they will see them. And he says, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." He says, "No, don't grieve, don't be saddened. Allah Azza wa Jal is ma'ana. He is with us. Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over us. Allah Azza wa Jal is protecting us." And so, احفظ الله يحفظك. Preserve the commandments of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal will preserve you. Allah Azza wa Jal will preserve you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. He says, know Allah Azza wa Jal during the good times, and Allah Azza wa Jal will know you during the bad. Now, knowing Allah is three levels. Knowing Allah is three levels. The first level is knowing Allah as your Lord. Knowing that God created you. You ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they say Allah. And so this is something that it's not just the Muslims who share. Everybody in general who believes in a creator, they know that something, whatever they call this supreme deity, created them. And he's the one who provides for them, and he's the one who takes care of them, and he's the one who nourishes them, and he's the one who they call out to when it comes to difficulty. He's the one who they ask to watch over their loved ones. All of that. Then you have the second level of knowing Allah, which is after you've known that Allah Azza wa Jal is your Lord, that you know that Allah Azza wa Jal is your ilah, the one who's worthy of worship. He's the one deserving of my prayer. He's the one who's deserving of my supplication. He's the one who's deserving of my tawakkul. He's the one who's deserving of my hope. He's the one deserving of my fear. He's the one who's deserving of my ibadah, of my worship. That's the second level. The third level is to know Allah Azza wa Jal by knowing His names and His attributes. By knowing His names and His attributes. And I give this example a lot, but it was a very profound experience for me. And that was that sometime last year I had given a lecture on Jesus in Islam and at a university. And after the lecture, a group of Christian students came and they sat down with me and they had questions. And we sat around a table and they were asking me, or one of them, she was asking. And I thought it was a great question, so I kicked it out to the rest of the group. The question was, what is your favorite attribute of God? And so I asked them, I said, what's your favorite attribute of God? One of them said that God is love. That's my favorite attribute of God. Another said that God takes care of me. Another said that God is beautiful. I said, these are all beautiful. What else you got? Another person said that God takes care of me. Another one said that God is love. Another person said that God is beautiful. So now I'm seeing repetition. Anything else? But it all revolved around these three things. And so I thought to myself, okay, well, you say that God is beautiful. We have a name for that. His name is Al-Jameel. What are you talking about? We have a name. We actually know God by his names. You say that God takes care of you, we have a name for that. His name is Ar-Rabb. You say that God loves, we have a name for that. His name is Al-Wadud. And all throughout the Quran, Allah describes himself to us through his names. And the Prophet ﷺ describes Allah to us through his names. And they said, we did it. This concept of names is new to us. I said, well, watch this. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir al-Khaliq al-Bari al-Musawwir al-Ghaffar Qahar al-Wahhab al-Razzaq al-Fattah al-Alim al-Sami'. And jaws were just dropping left and right. But it was a profound experience for me because it made me realize that as a Muslim ummah, there is no ummah that has more knowledge about God than we do. And there is no ummah who neglects to learn more about God with as much information about God as we do. And so it is actually a shame that a person not know Allah Azza wa Jal when they have so much access to know Allah. And hence the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says about himself on the Day of Judgment, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وَلَدِي آدَمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا فَخْرِ آدَمْ وَمَنْ دُونَهُ تَحْتَ لِوَائِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, I am the master of the children of Adam on the Day of Judgment, and I'm not saying this out of pride. Adam and everyone after him are under my banner on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ says that he will be carrying liwa'ul hamd on the Day of Judgment. He will be carrying the banner of praise. The scholars, they looked and they said, why is the Prophet ﷺ carrying the banner of praise? They said, because he is the one who praises Allah the most. And this ummah is the one that praises Allah the most because we are the ones who know the most about Allah. We are the ones who know the most about Allah. And because we know so much about Allah, we praise him in all circumstances. And so when things happen that are great, what do we say? We say Alhamdulillah. And when things happen that are horrible, that rip our very hearts out of our chests, what do we say? We say Alhamdulillah. We don't say, oh my God, well God, why did you do that? Because we recognize that God that put me through this misery or this test or who separated me from my loved ones or who took this job away from me even though I wanted it so bad, his name is Ar-Rahman. And so when you put that name into the equation, it just changes your perspective, doesn't it? When you say, Ar-Rahman is the one who took my spouse away from me. What is that? What connotation does that give you? Ar-Rahman is the one who caused my loved one to pass away. What meaning does that give you? I'm asking. Okay, let me repeat it. When you say Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, is the one who took my loved one away from me, how does that change your perception of the event or your perception of God? What does that do for you? As opposed to simply saying, God took my son away from me. Okay, makes you thankful that you had him in the first place. What? Makes it bearable. How so? Well, it doesn't. That's not all in the phrase. I'm just saying, Ar-Rahman. What does Ar-Rahman, the one filled with mercy, what does that do right away? There's mercy there. There has to be. There's mercy there. Even in me going through this incredible circumstance, the one who made me go through that circumstance is the one who has more mercy for me than anyone has to anyone else. And so Ar-Rahman is the one who did that. And so by me knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, it allows for me to praise him in all circumstances. In the good, I recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Kareem and Al-Wahhab and Al-Razzaq and Al-Fattah. And so all of these opportunities that came my way came because Al-Fattah opened the door for me and Al-Razzaq prescribed it for me and Al-Wahhab gifted it to me. And Al-Kareem, out of his benevolence and his grace, is the one who bestowed it upon me. I know all of these things. And so there's not a blessing that comes my way that I experience in the day or in the night on any day, except that I recognize that it is coming to me from Allah Azza wa Jalla with all of His beautiful attributes. And when I experience something that is difficult, something that is incredibly bitter, I recognize that that is still coming from Ar-Rahman. It's coming from Al-Hakim. It's coming from Al-Alim. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows and you do not know. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is wise. In fact, He is the most wise. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, even in the pairing of the names, by the way, the pairing of the names give you additional meanings. And so we talked just now about Allah being Al-Wadud. Allah Azza wa Jalla, very interestingly, the name Al-Wadud only comes once in the Quran. Allah says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. He is Al-Ghafoor Al-Wadud. And the scholars, not just the scholars, but every single one of us, when we read the Quran, we see these names that are mentioned at the end of a verse, we're supposed to pause and reflect and see, these names aren't just thrown in there for effect. These names are thrown in there because of the meanings that they bring. And so when Allah pairs Al-Ghafoor with Al-Wadud, the forgiving with the loving, there is an additional meaning that is created there, and it adds to the beauty of what we know about Allah Azza wa Jal, because we can forgive. We can forgive those who harm us very, very, very severely. But it is incredibly difficult, if not impossible, it is the most rarest of cases in which a person is able to bring themselves to forgive someone, and if there was love that existed from before, that love come back just as it was before the harm was inflicted to them, and or comes back even stronger. It's incredibly rare. Someone comes and, may Allah protect us all, murders a family member. Yes, the family member might, the family may forgive that person, but they're not going to love that person. They're not going to. But Allah Azza wa Jalla calls Himself Al-Ghafoor Al-Wadud. And so people sin against them with the most violent, aggressive, evil sins. And then when that person repents, Allah Azza wa Jalla loves that person again. Allah Azza wa Jalla calls Himself Al-Aziz Al-Hakim many times. Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. We say that absolute power corrupts absolutely. That is the power when it is given to human beings. That absolute power corrupts absolutely. However, when it comes to Allah, Allah calls Himself Al-Aziz and He calls Himself Al-Hakim. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla's power and might and ability are perfect, and yet that perfect might and ability does not make Him oppress anyone ever. Because hikmah, the definition of hikmah is putting things in their rightful places. And the definition of dhulm and oppression is putting things in their wrong places. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Aziz and Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim. Nonetheless, knowing Allah Azza wa Jal through knowing His names and attributes, ta'arraf ila Allahi fi al-rakha, ya'arifka fi shidda, and this is what would cause a person to praise Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is what would cause a person to worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is what would cause a person to ask Allah. And then the last part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا سَأَلْتُ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتُ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Abu Darda, by the way, with regards to this last point, he made a comment and he says, Allah Azza wa Jal may prevent a person from a benefit that they have. Say, for example, a person, and Abu Darda gives this example, a person applies for some sort of leadership position or some sort of tijara, some sort of business. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the angels, this person, if they reach that position, they will be thrown into the hellfire. So divert it away from them. Divert it away from them. And then this person, the person will continue to say, so and so ahanani, so and so belittled me, so and so didn't give me a chance, so and so didn't give me an opportunity, when it was really the fadl of Allah. It was really the grace of God. You apply for a job. You apply for a position. You apply for this. You apply for that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the angels that if you actually get what it is that you wanted, you are going to end up in the hellfire. And so Allah diverts it away from you. And you end up spending all of your time stressed out and anxious and upset about so-and-so who rejected you. Or so-and-so who didn't give you a call back on your interview. Or so-and-so who did this and didn't facilitate the opportunity. And you're fuming. And when in reality, it is the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is the bounty of Allah. That's what Abu Darda says. Nonetheless, the last part of this hadith, that I want to cover is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Idha sa'alt fas'alillah, wa idha sta'ant fasta'in billah." If you seek the help of anyone, seek the help of Allah. And if you were to ask anyone, then ask the help of Allah. You know, Sheikh Saleh al-Maghamsi, he says something incredibly beautiful. And he's the Imam of Masjid Quba in Medina. And he said, a person who makes dua has to make dua because they believe that Allah is able to do everything. In over 40 verses in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in different ways this concept, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is able to do all things. And that is mentioned in varying forms over 40 times throughout the Quran. Allah is able to do all things. So Sheikh Saleh mentions, he says, that sometimes a person, the thing that you want, becomes so distant that you don't make dua for it anymore. And sometimes that thing that you don't want, that thing that you want to be protected from, becomes so present and overwhelming that you don't make dua for it to be lifted from you anymore. Because it's just, it's here to stay. And he says, you have to remember that Allah is not able to do some things. Allah is not able to do little things and not the big things. Allah Azza wa Jal is able to do all things. That thing that you want, no matter how distant it is, you have to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is able to bring it to you. That thing that you dislike, that harm that is so prevalent and so overwhelming, you have to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal will able to lift it from you. And no one is going to be able to continue to make dua. He says that is the key. That is the key to dua. That is the key, because you have to believe, even before believing that Allah is merciful. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful. Allah is merciful, and so He can, you know, but or other people. Other people are merciful too. You walk into a hospital, you find people walking around visiting sick patients who are filled with mercy. But what's stopping them from helping these people? Their inability. They don't have the ability. But Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Qadir. Allah is the one who's able to do all things. And so when you ask Allah recognizing that He's able to do all things. Very powerful verse that we all know. Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And that verse will just give you goosebumps, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, blessed is He. Who is He? الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. You know, this dominion that we all are so worried about and afraid of and fight over, and little plots of land that we argue and spend, and countries that we cry over, and all of these things. Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. It all belongs to Him. And just in case you forgot, هُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. He is the one who's able to do all things. فَإِذَا سَأَلْتْ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتْ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask anyone, ask the help of Allah. And if you seek the help of anyone, make sure that you seek the help of Allah. Always make sure, even if it's the most small thing, even if it's just a cup of water, ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Make that your habit, that you ask Allah. The Sahaba, they said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to teach us to make istikhara in everything. In everything. Every small purchase that they would make, they were taught to make istikhara. To ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah knows and we do not know. And Allah Azza wa Jal has ability and we do not have the ability. This is what I wanted to share. And we will end here, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, kathira kathira. If there are any questions, inshallah ta'ala, I'll take them. Otherwise, I'm going to go home and try to sleep off this allergy that just showed up. Going once, going twice. Okay. Jazakum Allah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam, kathira. You just get electro to do.